Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the radio.com app today.
I'm a Trumpocrat.
That's right.
If I have the ability to vote, I'm going to vote for him.
You cannot make a brilliant speech where they say that was such an incredible, elegant speech if I'm talking about dishwashers, sinks, toilets, light bulbs.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You're a lying, dog-faced pony soldier.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Oh, good afternoon. Yeah, thank you, Joe Biden. I am a lion, stone-faced, dog, pony show, or whatever he said. I don't even know what he said there. Can't really tell, ever. Don't know. Let's play this. This is kind of, you know, to a certain extent, this is kind of funny, but to a certain extent, it's not really funny. And I will tell you, just kind of going in here, as we do this, poor Dave Klein back in the studio. I tell him I'm going to do something, and then I completely shift gears, like right at the beginning of the show. Just bear with me, Dave. We'll get through it here. But the look, I don't even know what to say about some of this stuff anymore. I really don't. Let's go back on track to what I was going to do. I guess I was going to play Joe Biden. You want to just play that quick Biden cut, Dave, from yesterday? What I was going to say is, look, I'm 55 years old, and I have issues with remembering things sometimes. There was a story that sort of fascinated me, but I think it's also one of those things you don't want to scare people with, where there were a bunch of people that were interviewed. I can't remember. I think this is a New York Times story that had COVID-19. And these are younger people, like people my age, 53 years old, 40 years old, 45 years old, where something that's being known as COVID brain fog. So cognitive symptoms, memory loss, confusion, difficulty. So I asked a couple of friends of mine that had COVID. I said, if you had anything like this, and they said no. And one of them forgot that I did not have it and said, hey, you. And I said, oh, there's the phone ringing. Sorry about that. I said, no, but I'm 55 years old. I have dementia anyway. I mean, I forget things all the time. But here's Uncle Joe yesterday trying to remember the name of Mitt Romney. It doesn't seem too tough, but he was struggling a little bit.
I got in trouble when we were running against the senator who was a Mormon, the governor, okay?
Yeah, that was Mitt Romney. Now, you're not going to see that. And again, Trump does goofy stuff too, but whoa. The problem with Joe Biden is that happens all the time. You have the very boring testimony. I'm so bored with the Amy Coney Barrett stuff right now. Just confirm her. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You got Senator McCaskill out there tweeting about dark money and stuff. Give me a break. She's 4 years after getting her butt whipped by Josh Hawley. I guess she's just super bored. I don't know. And here's something. Jonathan Alter, who's a liberal, this is how things get retweeted and repeated in the media. And I just want to give you a heads up for those of you who might see this today. This sounds really imposing and scary. 88 of Amy Coney Barrett's faculty colleagues at Notre Dame have released a letter that says that she should withdraw from consideration from the Supreme Court. 88 of that. Well, not one of them is a law professor, okay, like she is. There are, however, 4 gender studies professors, 4 peace studies professors, and 7 librarians that have signed on to that letter. So it's utterly ridiculous. But that's the kind of stuff that just gets spread out there. Even this stuff about, you know, pre-existing conditions and Obamacare, they're trying to attack her about that. I think we should be looking at yearbook pictures and talking about playing beer pong with Squee. That was a lot more interesting. Just confirm her at this point. All right, Dave, I got a bunch of things that I could go to right now. But let's Let's spin the wheel of topics here and tell me where it lands, because I got a little bit more on Amy Coney Barrett. I have Dr. Fauci and President Trump are in a fight right now. We have this situation in Alaska, and I have a bunch of other things. So where did that land here? Which topic did it land on, Dave?
I believe it landed on the anchor from Anchorage, Mark.
Awesome. That is great news, because this is one of my favorite stories of the day. And this comes with some audio as well. This is one of the weirdest stories I think you've heard in a while. There's a mayor of Anchorage, Alaska. His name is Ethan Berkowitz. Now, he has now apologized for what he's calling a consensual, inappropriate messaging relationship. What is a messaging relationship? Is that what Anthony Weiner got into there? It doesn't sound like there was actual sex or anything like that that took place. But anyway, Maureen Maria Athens is a news reporter and anchor in Anchorage, Alaska. And let me go back a few days, because this first started, well, the public part of this started last Friday, just after noon on Friday. And I am stunned, and Dave Klein is stunned, and I think a lot of people are going to be stunned that this video is still up there. But this is actually, I think this is on her Facebook page, not necessarily on the television station. So she works for KTBY and KYUR, and she goes up with a video on Friday on her Facebook page that says this about the mayor of Anchorage.
Hello there, Maria Athens from Fox, ABC, CW, Newsnet, National Alaska. Breaking news, according to reliable sources, Anchorage Mayor Ethan Berkowitz has his male genitalia posted on an underage girl's website. Coming up tonight, Fox 4 News at 9, ABC News at 10, CW News at 12:30, and Newsnet National for sure will cover this. You heard it here first.
Okay, the delivery not as polished as you might hear in a big market like St. Louis, all right? But imagine a female reporter anchor from Channel 4 or Fox or something like going on their Facebook page saying, hey, we have these allegations against this mayor, that mayor, whatever, right? So the day gets really weird, and then she ends up in a fight at her television station and ends up getting arrested because she apparently strikes general manager Scott Centers. Scott Centers, the GM of the station, apparently was also in an affair with this reporter. So she gets into a fight with her boss. They have her arrested. She says that on Facebook, and then she leaves this message. Okay, so this is where it gets really, really crazy. She leaves a message for the mayor of Anchorage. Dave Klein, you had to go to town on this one, because I don't know if you did the number of bleeps or you can see the number of edits, but this one is heavily edited. Fair to say it is... It's safe for the family. Well, maybe not for the family. It's PG-13,
it is,
right?
So this very is very heavily edited, and I actually had to have another set of ears, Fred Bottomer, just to make sure I didn't miss anything. I always like to have Fred just make sure I didn't miss anything when it comes to a lot of bleeps like this.
All right, Maureen Maria Athens, reporter, anchor, Anchorage. She says this to the mayor of Anchorage, Ethan Berkowitz.
Ethan, it's Maria Athens from Fox, ABC, CW, Newsnet, National Alaska. I just learned through my Emmy award-winning journalism, you're also a pedophile in, like, little girls and children. And there's a website. I'm so exposing you. I'm going to get an Emmy. So you either turn yourself in, kill yourself, or do what you need to do. I will personally kill you and Mark Kimmel, my damn self, you Jewish piece of living You have met your match, mother You have met your mother match. I can't believe I am such a good person and thought I loved you. I don't even hate you. I will pray for your Zionist ass, you piece of loser. And I'm putting this on the news tonight. Bye. Have a great Friday, you mother.
Okay, I don't know why we had to go to anti-Semitism there. I got a couple of different hot takes on this. The afternoon that the video was posted, the mayor's office issues a statement that says the slanderous allegations from your Alaska Link reporter Maria Athens are categorically false and appear to be the product of someone who is hostile and unwell. We spoke with Ms. Athens' employer, general manager Scott Centers, who empathetically disavowed his employee's comments. But again, let's not forget that Scott Centers was also in a relationship now with this reporter. So when this kind of gets nuts, There's a fight in his car. Athens punches Centers, hits him with her cell phone, grabs his arm because he's driving erratically. I guess this was in the car. Part of this was in a car when they were actually, you know, moving around. Police arrived at the TV station. They arrested her. She hits a cop on his vest, tries to kick the doors of the police cruiser, causing police to put her in full restraints. Now, she says later, I was never in full restraint. She's been charged with misdemeanor assault, criminal mischief, disorderly conduct. Now, but let me go back to this because she clearly sounds completely crazy and unhinged. There's no doubt about that. I don't know why she went to the anti-Semitism. That's bizarre, too. But think about what happened to this. I got to look at this from a different perspective as well, because Maria Athens was in this, whatever the messaging relationship was with the mayor, and he lied about it. He even came out and said, look, I apologize to the people of Anchorage for a major lapse in judgment I made several years ago when I had a consensual, inappropriate messaging relationship with reporter Maria Athens. I'm embarrassed and ashamed for the hurt I've caused my family and our community. I take responsibility. Keep in mind, she posts that on Friday, and the mayor doesn't come out with that statement until Monday. And then, you know, people are asking the reporters in Anchorage, say, what? Wait a second. That kind of took a while, right? Well, they say he had to tell his family and all this stuff. She clearly has more information or videos or pictures or something like that, but what a crazy story. Now, look, I just wanted to start with that here today because it was on the list for the Wheel of Topics, and I think it's one of the better stories of the day. We'll take a break, though. We'll come back. We got a bunch of stuff to get to this afternoon. Former State Senator John Lamping is going to join us. There's an interesting ballot issue. Maybe it's not interesting. I think it's kind of interesting because maybe it shouldn't be on the ballot, but we'll find out. John and I might not agree with this completely, but it has to do with the Clean Missouri stuff, and I think people are confused about that. So we'll get to that. I got a bunch of audio that's really interesting between Mark Cuban and Megyn Kelly on Megyn Kelly's podcast on Black Lives Matters, and I think you'll find that fascinating. Ryan Recker is going to swing by this afternoon. He's got a really cool special on the late, great, legendary Ann Keefe, former KMOX host, and we'll talk real estate, and Apple has a big event with some new iPhones, some mini iPhones. Crazy. They went kind of nuts today with some of the new products and everything, so we'll get to that with Ian Scheer at 3:35. A lot to get to this afternoon on a Tuesday afternoon edition of the Mark Reardon Show on KMOX.
You heard it here first.
Mark Reardon now.
No, never. Yes, always.
Total Information PM at 4 on KMOX.
All right, welcome back. You know, one quick thing here before I get to some of this Clean Missouri stuff. I saw this tweeted out a short time ago right before the show on CNN. I retweeted it. It said the headline was a third grade teacher has died in North Carolina days after testing positive for COVID-19 while her students were quarantined as a result of the exposure. Okay, but it's a terribly sad story, and this is what I said in the in my retweet. Geez, a terribly sad story, but 99.9999999999999999999999% of teachers are fine, just fine. Okay, and so are the kids. So you got to put stories. How about a story that says, "Look, man, we're back at school." This is one of the untold success stories of this whole thing. Senator Lamping is with me this afternoon. We're going to talk about something else, but I think you would agree with me, John, that you know we started schools in mid-August. Some schools did in some parts of the country, and I'd say it's going pretty well where we have school. And you don't hear anything about that, do you?
And most amazing is the. And universities around the country, so there's hundreds of thousands of people that have been diagnosed with COVID, and there's been 3 hospitalizations and obviously no deaths. And it's remarkable, the unreporting of numbers like that.
Yeah, I think it is. And, you know, I mentioned last week there was a great column by Alex Berenson, and I think he was going to be a guest, but he had some family emergencies. But he wrote about how, you know, this is really affecting New York City in particular and in damaging kids. And it's one of those undercovered stories. And not only that, but from the perspective that the progressives, the so-called progressives who are fighting in theory for the most vulnerable are now harming the most vulnerable because of the lack of schooling.
No, without a doubt. It's those least in society are the ones that can't, you know, they can't move their families to their country home or to Long Island or upstate New York, which is what the affluent in New York are doing right now to educate their children. And left behind is the substandard online education and for people that are most vulnerable.
All right, so let's talk about this Clean Missouri stuff, and I am confused. We talked about this a couple of years ago. Former State Senator John Lamping with me this afternoon. A couple of years ago, voters in Missouri passed a bill called Clean Missouri, right? And it had to deal with, I think, with lobbying gifts and things along those lines, and also for redrawing the congressional maps and the legislative maps, the districts in Missouri. So far, so good. Did I get that? Is that accurate?
Well, not completely. So does not impact the congressional maps. It does not impact U.S. Congress. It's specific to Missouri State Senate and Missouri House.
Right. Got it. Okay. Yeah. That's good. We got that straight. So that passes, and now we're going to vote on something again. Why are we doing that? Explain it. Because this whole thing kind of makes my brain hurt, and I don't really care about it that much. You're going to probably tell me I should care about it, but it does seem kind of weird that we voted on something. And you know, John, I'm not a big fan of the constitutional amendment process in Missouri. I think it's overused. And this might be exhibit A of overusing the ballot amendment issue or process.
Okay, so let's talk about both initiatives. So what you should understand is that the Clean Missouri Amendment was privately funded with millions and millions of dollars were put into that campaign. Really, anyone with millions and millions of dollars can go out and try to make a constitutional amendment change in Missouri. It requires them to spend about $1.5 million collecting signatures and then whatever it takes in a media campaign. And so in Clean Missouri, when it passed, it was financed with private money, outside money, in the $3 or $4 or $5 million is what it took, and I think it passed by 57% of the vote. Now, what was smart was that the proponents of Clean Missouri, they were able to piece together their bill, and their bill survived numerous legal challenges where, yes, the public thought when they were voting for that bill, they were voting for to reduce lobbyist gifts. Great. I'm always voting for that. So they reduced lobbyist gifts down to $5. They reduced campaign contributions. Yep, we're all going to vote for that. And then this third part was to redo how we do redistricting. And in their rhetoric and in their advertising, they mentioned gerrymandering. We all have seen U.S. congressional gerrymandering maps that are drawn. They look like snakes, and they wrap around communities, and those are all done with an eye towards securing a seat for an incumbent. So the public is against gerrymandering. So Clean Missouri, privately funded, went out, ran this campaign. Who's opposed to Clean Missouri when it was on the ballot was just other people that didn't have millions of dollars, so it passes. So that's how you get in the ballot. That's one way you get on the ballot. That's how they got on the ballot, private financing. This amendment, Amendment 3, is the other way you get on the ballot, which is the General Assembly can put an initiative. They can put an amendment on the ballot, and that's what they did. And they actually copied the format in that in this Amendment 3, they vote to lower gifts by $5, they vote to lower contributions by $100, and then you're voting to change back the process by which the state districts are drawn. Now it's funny because I think Clean Missouri was completely dishonest in that they campaigned on getting rid of campaign contributions, but what they wanted was redrawn the districts in a different fashion. And without getting into the weeds too much, here's what they did. The Clean Missouri that exists as law today says that when you draw these districts, you have to draw them as close to 50-50 by Republican-Democrat scores as possible. So here's what that means. My friend Janilla Nasheed, who's coming out of the state Senate, she represents right. North St. Louis City. Janilla's district is probably a 75 to 80% Democratic district. When they redraw that district in order to get it to be 50-50, her district's going to have to come all the way out, certainly through St. Louis County, maybe into Lincoln County. And so what this was done, the reason that this was proposed and then ultimately passed was that the Democrats are in the super minority in Jeff City. There's 34 state Senate seats. I think they hold 11 now, maybe, in the supermajority. And what they did is
8 Democrats, 24 Republicans, okay. 48 Democrats, 113 Republicans. Yes, they are. Unless those numbers might be off just a little bit, but those are the numbers I have. Yes, Democrats in the legislature are there aren't many of them. Right. Endangered species, I've said in the past.
So this was entirely set up in order to make the General Assembly competitive again. And so, but what it means, though, is it means, like I said, Janilla's district, she's in, I think she's Senate 1, It means that her district will go out to Troy. It means that you're going to, around the St. Louis area, you're going to have this kind of spoke and tire thing. You're going to have all these districts that'll go out. They'll spread out as far as they have to go. You go down to like Rolla, Missouri. It's Pulaski County. So down in Rolla, you probably have 65 or 70% Republicans right now, 30% Democrats. So they're going to have to draw that district to allow for it to be as close to 50-50 as possible. So the public hates gerrymandering at the congressional level. Currently, the way we've drawn all of our districts, we draw them by a commission. The commission is all appointed by political insiders. There's no doubt about that. But when you look at the districts, they're meant to be contiguous. They're meant to not break up counties. They're meant to keep communities together. So as you might imagine, that there's two state senate seats in the city of St. Louis. They're all 75% Democrat. They're all the community. There's like basically kind of Central West End North and then Central West End South. It's all what you would expect to be the case. But when this, if Amendment 3 does not pass and the current law stands, when they draw maps next year at the state level, you're going to have true gerrymandering in order to get the districts to be 50-50. Now, what's happened is that that was completely covered up by the Clean Missouri people because they buried it way down the bottom. And this initiative that's out there, Amendment 3, it doesn't have the public funding it needs to communicate what is actually going on this issue. And so that's what it means. I highly recommend everyone vote for Amendment 3. And if you don't and it doesn't pass, you'll see, we'll go back at the end of 2021 and it'll be exactly what I suggested to you. It's going to be these spaghetti-like Senate districts. And then the question is, in Jamil and Nasheed's district, if it's drawn 50-50 and it goes from downtown St. Louis out to Troy, well, who does that senator represent? Whose interest do they represent? And what will happen is wherever the majority of the votes are, that's where that person's going to be drawn from, and it means that the rest of the district will be overlooked.
Yeah. And I don't know. I honestly got, John, and this is nothing against you, I don't know if any of this helped anyone right now because it's so damn confusing. And I don't think most people don't care, okay? And then a lot of people will say, and I fall in this group just a little bit, look, and I didn't like the language, and I think some of these things are tricky, but it was an overwhelming ballot amendment issue in 2018. It was, 2-1 in favor of this. And now we come back a couple of years later and try to change it. So I don't know. That's the part that sort of bothers me. I understand the substance of it and what you're saying, but it just seems a little deceptive on its surface.
Well, Clean Missouri was deceptive, in fact. And you start our conversation about you don't like the process. The process is horrible. We have the lowest. We're changing our constitution here. We have the lowest threshold you can have, 50%. A lot of states have 60%. It's very simple to get on the ballot to make constitutional amendment changes. Every time you and I vote, there's a constitutional amendment change on there by an outside party. All you need is money. That's all you need is money. And this, the Amendment 3 was not from outside money. It came from the General Assembly. And they put it on the ballot. And, look, I'd love to see the constitutional amendment change that would stop this process of outside money putting constitutional amendment change on the ballot. But it is what it is. And, look, maybe people don't understand, but it's easy enough to understand is that you'll see if this does not pass, then you're going to have spaghetti-like Senate districts and House. It's going to be extraordinary how it's going to look. It's like a jigsaw puzzle come next year.
We'll see what happens in a few weeks, 3 weeks from today. Former Senator John Lamping, appreciate it. John, 231.
News Radio 1120, KMOX, the voice of the Cardinals.
All right, I want to cover this Mark Cuban audio, but just something, because I had seen some reaction to this on Twitter earlier in the day. Carol just had this story with Ken Warren about the poll with Ann Wagner's congressional district. She is facing Democrat Jill Shoup. And it is a race that is going to be closely watched nationally. I think there is a chance that Ann Wagner loses this in 3 weeks to Jill Shoup. Now, I'm hoping that's not going to happen. But if there's softer support for Donald Trump, I think that's going to be problematic. However, let's play this. There's this poll out, and they do this SLU poll, this YouGov poll of this particular district. And let me set this straight just a little bit here, because here's what Ken Warren said. It's a 9-point lead for Jill Shoup right now, by the way, which is interesting because nobody knows who Jill Shoup is, which makes that number somewhat questionable. They've seen her TV ads. It's a vote against Ann, maybe, but here's what he said.
This is one of the districts that has been targeted by Democrats because they thought it could flip. It's a district that's turning more Democrat, actually, and Ann Wagner will probably have a hard time holding on to it. Other polls have shown that she's losing as well, but not as much as by 9%.
But she, Ken should have explained, this is what's called an opt-in sample. So opt-in samples are somewhat suspicious. I'm not discounting the fact that Ann Wagner might lose that race. It could very well happen, depending on the turnout. But there's at least, and this is hard for people to believe, at least 10% of people don't use the internet. So you have to use the internet to do this. And these are people who motivated to take part in this survey. So I wouldn't believe 9% in that. However, if there are people in the second district, now my wife is a good example of this. She's not known to vote very much. Now, she will vote, hopefully, in a couple of weeks. She doesn't want to vote for either presidential candidate. And quite honestly, I don't blame her. So I said, you got to vote for other candidates. There's other races. There's, you know, issues. And there's Ann Wagner. So she knows Ann. She's friends. She's going to vote for Ann. But that's important for those of you who might feel not motivated. If you feel like you want to make your voice heard in that congressional race, for Jill Shoup or Ann Wagner, that is your opportunity. All right, this is kind of interesting. Megyn Kelly, ever since the NBC Today Show thing, the Post Today Show thing went belly up, she does a podcast, I guess. I was unaware. Maybe I knew. But she had Mark Cuban on yesterday, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. And he's always a very controversial figure. He's outspoken. He's not too shy. I think it's safe to say that Mark Cuban's not someone who backs down. But there's been some concern in all of athletics about the BLM logo. I've talked to plenty of people here in St. Louis, weren't happy with Jack Flaherty, the Cardinals, or the NFL or the NBA, all these things, because there is this opinion that, well, I think it's manyfold, if I can just be so bold to say. I think a lot of people might say, look, Black Lives Matter only in certain circumstances. They don't matter if there's a shooting in urban America. Now, I've said this before. Other people have said this before. I'm not saying that's the only thing that matters. I'm saying that, look, there are perspectives on this that it's not just about police, right? You know, the guys who, and the ladies and gentlemen who founded BLM, they're pretty radical. They're anarchists. They're, you know, communists. That's not an exaggeration. That's actually factual. But can you separate the movement from the movement, if you would? In other words, I think it's fair to say, and this is what Mark Cuban's going to say, but we'll hear him parse the language here, that most people who are getting involved with whatever might be considered this post-George Floyd period of Black Lives Matters and social justice would say, look, we feel that there's racial inequality, there's police brutality, maybe we don't stand for all that other stuff that Black Lives Matter stands for. But there's a legitimate question about how you can separate that stuff out, and I think most people, wouldn't this be fair to say, most people probably don't know what the official organization really does stand for. Anyway, let's hear a little of this with Megyn Kelly, because she doesn't back down with Mark Cuban.
So you wear a pink ribbon to support breast cancer. That's one thing. Putting BLM in the middle of the court when it's not supported by virtually any Republican in the country. It's down, less than 20%
of Republicans
about that, support
that's a
the
different
group.
Topic. So that's a different. So, okay. So first there, when you said the group, what group are you talking about?
Black Lives Matter, capital B, capital L, capital
no,
M.
No, okay, but who is that group? Because
it
it's
is
not a group.
It's a group
it's a
founded by Marxists who
no,
want to dismantle
no,
the nuclear family and defund the police.
No, first, that's incorrect. So first of all—
No, it's 100% correct.
Okay, so let's go there. Okay, so first of all, let's talk in terms of who we support. There's blacklivesmatter.com, and that's where you go to get the information about the organization. Those are the people who started the hashtag. That's all they did. If we were supporting blacklivesmatter.com, don't you think, Megan, we would have been smart enough to put the .com on the
no.
court along with Black Lives
no.
Matter?
No.
Come on. Now you're splitting
no.
hairs.
No. No, I don't think you were smart enough, because clearly you're not smart enough to recognize, and this is disappointing, Mark Cuban, that what she said is 100% accurate. Now, I understand, because this is what people are going to say, Reardon, you idiot. These people who want racial justice and they're concerned about inequality, these are good people. They are good people on both sides, right? See what I did there? There are people that represent the cause of trying to do something about racial inequality, right? Well, I've been told that you can't do that if you're on a different side of an issue, that you can't be lumped in with those other people because you're different. Your position is different. You're bad if you're associated with them. I've been told that by many people on the left, haven't I? All right, a little bit more Megyn Kelly and Mark Cuban here, because she tries to set him straight.
No, so what BLM are you supporting?
We're supporting the movement. It's really a distributed movement across the country to try to end racism, to bring awareness to social justice issues. And if you, and I've done this, right, talk to people who go that are at Black Lives Matters rallies and ask them who the three founders are. They don't have any idea. And if we were supportive of those three founders, don't you think we would have had one of them on an NBA
Mark,
broadcast to talk about?
You know as Megan, well as I do that the main takeaway on BLM, the main push, this is what they say their single issue, their biggest issue is, whenever you see a representative from the group, an organizer, people who go to the protests, it's one thing, defund the police.
No, that's crazy. Okay, so that's
it's not crazy. Trust me, I've been following every news cycle on this.
I've marched with them. But see, that's the whole thing, Megan. You just answered the question. You're following the news cycles, right? And where you get your source of news determines, you know, pretty much the perspective that people are going to have on this. I can tell you from being in NBA meetings, right? I can tell you from being part of the discussions. I can tell you from talking to players. So when I speak, I'm speaking for the NBA as an owner, or, you know. And so I can tell you, it's been very clear that we're supportive of the movement. We're supportive of trying to end racism. We're supportive of police reform. But you've never, ever heard us talk about Marxism.
Yeah. Let me ask a question. I'm an NBA owner. I own the St. Louis Spirit was the franchise in the 1970s. So I have now purchased the rights to the St. Louis Spirit, and I'm in the NBA here in St. Louis, and I'm sitting around a table with Mark Cuban, all right? And we're talking about George Floyd and racial injustice, and our players are very involved in this, and they're very passionate. We got to do something about it. But I'm going to raise a question. Excuse me, can I raise a question? Hey, Mark, can we talk about this just a little bit? Because this group, Black Lives Matter, they want to dismantle capitalism. Maybe most people don't know that, but that's what they're about. That's what they've been... not very shy about that. They think that climate change is racist. They want to abolish prisons, and they want to get rid of borders, and they think unemployment is violence, and all these things that they've never backed down from this. I could play you audio or interviews with people, leaders in Chicago across the country. Maybe we should talk about that a little bit before we just stamp this with a seal of approval. But that's not what happened in this situation. So a little bit more here with Megyn Kelly and Mark Cuban.
Pretend that BlackLivesMatter.com or otherwise is not about defunding the police is to be dishonest. It is.
It's not.
It is about defunding.
No,
it absolutely
not.
Is.
Megan,
and the basketball players who have spoken about this have made clear that they support that. I mean, they've talked about how they want to defund and dismantle the police force.
Individual players can have their opinion, right? And that's fine, right? But me, as a governor in the NBA, and having been in all those meetings, I can tell you that while we are interested in police reform, yes, and we have had discussions about police reform, yes, we have never talked about defunding the police, and they are an extreme
BLM
different
has.
Ends.
But
well,
BLM,
BLM
has and devotes itself to it.
No, you're wrong, Megan, because BLM, the hashtag, BLM, the hashtag, the founders, is completely different than BLM, the movement.
Mark, and people, if, you know, people don't understand this distinction you're trying to make.
Well,
that's why they find this logo alienating. It's not that they don't support lowercase BLM. It's that what this group has become with the protests in the streets that have turned into riots, with bothering people at their dinner tables, making them raise a fist and say Black Lives Matter, and with this push to defund the police, which has already worked in some cities. In New York, they took $1 billion away from the police force to the detriment of the inner city, to the women and the children and the men who are in the inner city.
Okay, so now we're talking
really
about
controversial.
Something different.
You know, what's funny about that is that everything she's saying is completely factual, and he wants to completely deny that it's happening, which is a little concerning because I think Mark Cuban is a relatively smart guy, but he's completely wrong on this one. 248, we're back with more in a moment.
KMOX is St. Louis's news, talk, sports, radio.
This is things are getting crazy right now in this pandemic. There's a nationwide shortage of cans, and that is the latest threat to craft beer. Ball Corp, the world's largest manufacturer of cans, told investors this week that the U.S. market alone is short, get this, 10 billion cans in 2020, according to Beer Business Daily, a trade publication. Holy cow. When demand, this is from the Washington Post, When demand is this high for cans, only a few beverage producers get priority. The big guys, guess who? Anheuser-Busch is in there, Molson Coors, Pepsi. But they saw a shortage coming early on, and they hedged their bets, the story says, shoring up contracts with canning giants, but also negotiating contracts with smaller distributors. So they don't mention Coke here. I'm a little concerned because, of course, I have a Diet Coke addiction, and I did have my friend out in Las Vegas, Rick. He texted me a few weeks ago, said, hey, have you had trouble finding Diet Coke? And I said, no, thank God. But he had out west. Now, that could have been from, you know, the fires or something like that. Who knows? There might have been a plant that was shut down, something along those lines. I'm not sure. Bart Watson, chief economist for the Brewers Association, says in times of shortage, there are no antitrust violations with privileging your largest customers first. Most smaller brewers buy indirectly from brokers. That means they're lower on their list. It's nothing nefarious, but it's one of the challenges small companies face. So basically, they offer an example here of Duclaw Brewing, which is in Baltimore. They've run out of cans every week since late July. They get shipments from a smaller packaging company, and the company that they rely on told them they will not get a steady supply of cans until next August. Here's a quote. We could sell 200 million more cans between now and the end of the year if we could get them. Unfortunately, we're having to turn away new customers because we have to take care of existing customers first. None of our manufacturers are taking new customers through the end of the year. I mean, some of the stuff, you know, we know that we're going to have issues with people not in industries that are thriving. Commercial real estate's going to probably really take a hit and other sectors of the economy, we'll say. But there are some sectors that are just blowing up like crazy. And I guess, you know, one of the things with the, Klein, do you drink? My son drinks, well, I better not say this because his mom, I don't think, allows him to do this. He's 20 and a half. So we allow him to drink those Truly things, you know, those White Claws, what are those things called?
Oh, yeah, Truly, White Claws. Carbonated. Yeah, that's a big thing. Yeah, absolutely. My wife loves
those. The sparkling waters.
Right.
But
right.
Those are in cans, right? Those
absolutely.
Always come in cans,
yeah.
Don't they?
Yeah. Can't get them any other way.
Exactly. So that is that's a big part of this right now. But again, if you're worried about those brands, I guess, you know, the big boys out there like AB, they looked ahead. But something to look for if you're wondering where your cans are in the future, probably because of the can shortage. 2:56, we'll take a break. Ryan Recker is going to come out of the evening cave and join us this afternoon because he's got a special about the late legendary KMOX host Ann Keefe. We'll also talk about the real estate market with my friend Mark Gelman in the next hour. And Apple held its big event today. New iPhones and computers. Actually, quite a bit of information. 5G phones, all that stuff coming up. Ian Scheer, 3:30, and an audio cut of the day.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.